Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to Reflections on this second Sunday of Advent, Year B. Our readings today, Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 11, Psalm 85, 2 Peter 3, verses 8 to 15a, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. His name is Almighty, and He is the Lord. His name is Creator, and He makes all things new. His name is Sustainer, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. His name is the Savior, and He died in our place. His name is Forgiveness, and He can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is Holy, and He is the one that we have come to worship. His name means He is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we come with our broken lives and our flattering faith. We come from our world of darkness and with empty hands and empty lives. We come with nothing that will earn your love, and with everything that should receive your condemnation. We pray for ourselves and for all your people, that your grace may make us whole. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray the collect for the second Sunday of Advent, followed by our parish prayer. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Everlasting Word. The Everlasting Word. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39, the prophet announces the Lord's judgment upon the people of Judah for their centuries of idolatry and injustice. They were constantly breaking the covenant. They refused to love God and their neighbor as themselves. However, in Isaiah chapter 40, part of which forms our Old Testament lesson today, the tone of the prophet's message changes. He now speaks of comfort, forgiveness, and an unexpected return from exile in Babylon to Jerusalem. The prophet speaks of hope and restoration. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 4 and 5. As if to assure the people that this transformation will indeed come to pass, the prophet affirms, all people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. The prophet points to the everlasting nature of God's word. Words that will last forever. We know that life is fleeting and will come to an end. In Psalm 90, the psalmist reflects on the brevity of life. He writes, the days of life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Psalm 90, verse 10. In biblical times, the oldest person mentioned was Methuselah, who is said to have died at the age of 969 years. In modern times, the oldest person ever to have lived died at the age of 122 years and 164 days. In the scheme of things, that is a short time. The oldest living tree in the world is the bristlecone pine in the California mountains, which is over 4,700 years old. The oldest giant oak tree is estimated to be between 400 and 500 years old. Compared to that, 70 to 80 years, and our days are truly like the grass. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. Psalm 90, verse 6. All living things have an expiry date. Not so the Word of God. Isaiah affirms that the Word of God will stand forever. Human history teaches us that words have power. The great philosophers concluded that the power of words arises from our emotional responses when we read, speak, or hear them. The Jewish author Yehuda Berg stated, "Words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement, or destructively using words of despair. Words have energy and power with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, to humble." Unquote. The power of words has been recognized since ancient times. In the Wisdom Book of Proverbs, there are many references to the power of words. Here are a few of them. Proverbs 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Proverbs 15, verse 4. "A gentle tongue is like a tree of life, but pervasiveness in it breaks the spirit." Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Proverbs 18, verse 4. "The words of the mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a gushing stream." In post-biblical times, many things have been said about the power of words. Unfortunately, for many of them, their origin is unknown. For example, words can change the course of a life. Manipulative words can create a problem among people. Source unknown. Be careful with your words. Once they are said, they could only be forgiven, not forgotten. Source unknown. Words are free. It's how you use them that may cost you. Hushan wisdom. Handle them carefully, for words have more power than atomic bombs. Pearl Schwachan Hurd. Mother Teresa said, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." George Herbert. "Good words are worth much and cost little." Many of us who grew up on the West Indian reader will remember the Arabian proverb which says, "There are four things that come not back: the spoken word, the sped arrow, the past life, and the neglected opportunity." Words indeed have power. Consider this. If the words from us frail human beings have so much power, what about the Word of God and the Word from God? Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, tells him that all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The study of God's word must form an integral part of our daily activities as disciples of Christ, if we are to grow in our relationship with God. It is via God's word that we come to know, understand, and appreciate God's tremendous love for us. We come to know that God has a plan and purpose for each of us. A good plan, a good purpose, one to give us a future of hope. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. A future of hope, even in the face of the challenge of a pandemic. While we reflect on the power of words and the fact that the word of God will stand forever, we must reflect on the word who was present at creation and by the Father's will brought creation into being, and it was very good. In addition, we are reminded that the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word of God, which was Christ, gave us a taste of the awesome power of the Word of God and the Word from God. With words, Jesus taught and brought us into a new relationship with the Father. With words, the disciples left everything to follow him. With words, Jesus brought healing and wholeness to many people. With words, he brought forgiveness of sins. With words, Jesus calmed the storms. With words, he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. With words, Jesus produced in the sea a large quantity of fish. His seven words from the cross have brought healing, comfort, joy, and love to millions of people throughout the years. His words uttered in his promises, and these promises being fulfilled, have given us hope, faith, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this season of Advent, we focus on his words. He says, "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." John chapter 14, verse 3. We can trust those words. We can believe those words. Indeed, we can live by those words. For the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. We thank God for God's everlasting words, and we strive to the best of our ability to live by them. Amen. Let us pray. Keep us, O Lord, that while we tarry on this earth in a serious seeking after you, and in an affectionate walking with you every day of our lives, that when you come, we may be found not hiding our talent, not serving the flesh, nor yet asleep with our lamps unfurnished, but waiting and longing for our Lord, our gracious King, forever and ever. Amen. O God, our Father, we are preparing to celebrate the birthday of your Son, Jesus Christ. While we recall his coming as a tiny baby in weakness and humility, may we be reminded that one day he will come in power and glory. We make this prayer to you through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Most gracious Lord, by whose direction this time is appointed for renewing the memory of your infinite mercy to humankind in the incarnation of your only Son, grant that we may live this holy time in the spirit of thanksgiving, and every day raise up our hearts to you in the grateful acknowledgement of what you have done for us. Besides this, we ask for your grace, O God, that we may make a due use of this holy time for preparing our souls to receive Christ our Lord coming into the world at the approaching solemnity of Christmas. Christ came into the world to do good to all. Grant, O God, we may thus prepare to meet him. Grant we may be watchful at this time above all others, in avoiding everything that can be injurious to our neighbor, whether in afflicting them or giving them scandal or drawing them into sin or casting any blemish on their reputation. But in all things, O God, may we follow the spirit of love, being forward in bringing comfort and relief as far as their circumstances shall require and ours permit. Grant, O Lord, that we may prepare to meet our Redeemer. Amen. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in that service, O God, we ask you to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. And we pray that you will have a rewarding, productive, and spirit-filled week. And by God's grace, be safe. God bless.